I received a message early this week from Elder Robert, and the message made the announcement that we are going to 100% capacity here at church, and that vaccinated people can now stop wearing masks. So, which for me was a very simple way of communicating in my simple way of thinking as a firefighter. Wow, what a journey it has been, but it's over. It's basically over. And I couldn't believe it. I sat there with my feelings about the whole COVID experience, and I reflected. I reflected really as most everyone else will do. I don't think any two of us will take the same things that we learned over the past 16 months out of it. I also don't think that any one of us is willing to say that nothing has changed because of the last 16 months. I thought about some of the things God had impressed upon my heart in these last 16 months. And here at the end, I desired to cement the growth and the learnings and the changes that God has brought through this time of testing. I learn a great deal. For me, I learn a great deal by looking back. Looking back is super important to me. I'm a big reminiscer, and I try to be a keenly perceptive and an effectively discerning understander or student, especially when it comes to God and what He's doing, and especially when it comes to spiritual growth. So these past 16 months of my life and many others' lives included some times of real spiritual struggle. We really did have a tough go at times. Times when we asked, Lord, what are you saying in this day? What are you saying in this situation? Jesus, what are you doing that I should be seeing? Father, what step do you want me to take? What words do you want me to speak, and what actions are you asking me to make? Holy Spirit, of the people you have placed in front of me, who are you instructing me to help, and how do you want me to help them? And what battle, Lord, in this 16-month, what battle are you calling me to that I must not be deterred from? That is what much of COVID life has been like for me. And what I did in that time, which we can now look back on, and I do look back on it, I go to our website and I look back and I actually revisited the 60 plus sermons that were delivered during COVID. If I can be totally transparent with you, much of my thought life, much of my communication with God and much of my learning from the Holy Spirit has been collected and saved and shared really from this pulpit right here. My messages to you are kind of my personal journaling. I write and I share what God has whispered into my ear that week and into my heart and into my soul, and I pray desperately that in some way what comes out of my mouth will serve the kingdom of God. A quick thought looking back at the 16 months is that God used this 16 months tremendously. Not just in our society and the world around us, but God used this trial and He used this struggle of COVID to drive us to our knees and seek Him earnestly. We sought Him, didn't we? Because of our confusion. We sought Him because of our frustration. We sought Him because of our anger, our depression, our uncertainty, and our loneliness. And in the end, I wonder if success is not found in how much we accomplished or how safe we kept ourselves. Instead, I believe our victory is measured by how much we sought God's face. I believe our victory is measured in how naturally and instinctively and habitually we began to depend on God. Our victory is measured in how tirelessly and how unwaveringly we trusted in Him. even when heaven seemed silent for a long time, even when the darkness looked like it was never going to end. I related in a much deeper way to David's Psalms, the Psalms of him embracing God in the bad times, not just the good. And I have to admit, I am closer today to God because of this 16-month war. And even if it's only one step closer to God, I'm going to tell you it was worth it. One step closer to God is worth 16 months of struggle to me. And if I could do it all again to get one more step closer to God, I'd be the first to sign up. Like I said, I'm a big reminiscer. But Elder Robert's message has kind of spun me around. He has pointed me in a new direction. Now it's time to look forward. It's time to determine what God is calling you to in a post-COVID unmasked world. It's time to use the lessons God taught us in this time of testing to be stronger. It's time to use the lessons to be better. It's time to use those lessons to be more effective in every aspect of our life. Tonight isn't about losing masks. It's about finding God's new adventure. Corporately, that is church-wise, God has kind of put us ahead of the curve on this. Westbridge 2.0 left the station weeks ago. As we stoked the fires on the little church that could, we realized not only have we left the station, but we have put down some miles since then, and we have traveled well over the horizon. People who have not entered into a relationship with Jesus Christ have, just as we thought, come through those doors. And we have loved on them. And we have encouraged them and ushered them on a closer walk to Jesus. And I don't know about you, but I am stoked about what God's new adventure is and has been so far. So corporately, we are motoring along. But now we need to focus on our new God-designed personal adventure. Who and what are you going to be without a mask? As we talked about last week, our personal journey is an adventure really of self-leadership. We learned that last week as we installed Elder Derek. So let's dive right in. To begin our unmasked adventure, I offer you point number one. Reevaluate your relationship with God. Gang, COVID took its toll on many people spiritually. Polarization was seen at obscene levels. Fellowship and life-infusing gatherings fell off the charts. Frustration ran rampant in people's hearts. Anger ruled many a day. Ugliness, fear, and hopelessness replaced kindness, replaced faith, and replaced loves in the lives of those who were struggling in a quarantined world. But God, in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 40, gives us our marching orders for our newfound unmasked life. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 40. So let us test and examine our ways and return to the Lord. Let us take a good look at the way we're living and reorder our lives under God. Gang, one of the greatest provisions the born-again believer has in his or her pocket is an ongoing supply of God's grace, allowing us to try again. We have an unlimited stack of get-out-of-jail-free cards enabling us to be forgiven of our sin and turn the page, starting a new chapter. One where we can jettison our less-than-stellar behaviors. We can jettison and get rid of less-than-wanted actions and attitudes. And we can institute new, godly, Jesus-like, Holy Spirit-led behavior, actions, and attitudes. Lamentations here gives us very, very clear action verbs. Did you pick those up? Test, examine, take a good look at how you've been living. Westbridge, the first one, test. Test your attitude output over the past 16 months. Have you been thankful and exuded an attitude that says, I am a blessed person. God is good to me, and he has me in the shadow of his wing. Give yourself that self-test now, and then examine. We did test, now examine. Examine the wake. Examine the wake that you left behind you as you traveled through those choppy COVID waters. Did I leave a place more bright? Did I leave a place more happy and hopeful than I found it? Did I say positive things and offer God's light at the end of this tunnel? Did I bring love? Did I bring joy? Did I bring enthusiasm? And did I bring comfort to others? Recently, I had to go to the dentist. In fact, my teeth, gang, are so filled with holes and so filled with cracks and so filled with breaks that I will probably be going to the dentist every month now for the next 2 years. That's how bad it is. If I was a horse, Miss Kelly would be leading me right over to the old glue factory. Now, here's the thing, though, about the dentist. The thing that I dread the most, the thing I dread most of all with any doctor when I go to visit is needles. I really can't do needles, guys. I can't do them. But this particular day, knowing that I have these things in my teeth that need to be changed, this particular day I just set my jaw to just get it over with. Well, surprisingly, the dentist did everything perfectly. Wonderful job. I practically didn't feel a thing, even through 3 doses of Novocaine. He gave me the first dose. He says to the nurse, give me the green. He gives me the green. He waits for a while talking to me. He goes, is your lip numb? I said, no, my lip's not numb, but I can feel it on my tongue. Nope, lip's got to be numb. Give me the yellow. I don't know what these things meant, but he got the yellow. He gave me shots of that, which I didn't feel because I was already numbed up enough. So he says to me after a while, so is your lip numb? I said, no, my lip's pretty good. Yeah, you're talking fine. I said, yeah, I don't feel nothing. It's not working yet. So he says, give me the gold. Now, I don't know how much all this costs, Paul, but my guess is going to cost Miss Kelly quite a fortune. After that, forget it. I was on cloud 9. Well, surprisingly, the dentist did everything right, and it was such a lack of pain, and my dentist's expertise put me in such a good mood that I was talking and chatting and having really quite a good time with the nurse who was there and the dentist. And I gave that dentist really the visit of a lifetime. He had a great time. He told me so. After they finished, I left telling them. I says, I got to be honest with you, that was a very pleasant experience. And the dentist and his assistant looked at me with their eyes open. They said, never, ever, ever have they had someone say to them that was a pleasant experience. Well, I smiled and I wished them well with my holes, my teeth filled with holes. And I wished them well on my way out. It's not bad as you think. I just exaggerated a little bit. On the way home, though, I thought, I've known this dentist for 30 years. No one has ever left with a happy, positive, grateful wake behind them on their way out. And I was glad that I did. It didn't seem like anything special to me. Westbridge, test your attitude. Examine your wake that you're leaving behind and have left behind. And the third piece, take a good look at how you treated others. Were you gracious with people who did not share your mask choice? Were you polite with people's stand on vaccinations? Were you honoring and respectful of people's distancing, quarantine, and gathering beliefs? COVID proved, without a doubt, two people could look at the exact same thing and see something completely opposite. And those two people, without hesitation and with complete surety, they would stake their lives on what they believe. Polar opposite opinions. And guess what, gang? God wanted us to love on both of them equally. Amen. Not just your team. God wanted us to want the best for them, both opinions, equally. What an incredible test. Remember, Westbridge, COVID was indeed a test. We talked about it January 2nd. But this COVID test, gang, really wasn't about a final grade for us. It wasn't. Instead, it's supposed to be a learning for us, growing our faith, stretching our faith, taking us to where we have not been before. We can do what Lamentations chapter 3, verse 40 tells us. After testing, after examining, and after taking a good look, it tells us we must return to the Lord and reorder our lives under God. Gang, our takeaway here is to commit to spiritual growth. No matter how we did in our COVID test, no matter how you did, it's over. We can get better. You can get into a church that inspires you to follow Jesus, and you could be faithful in attending that church. Find one where when you're there, you feel like God's talking to you. And then don't miss. Get there. You can, on your speed dial, on your radio, you can put a Christian radio station. You can put it in your car and tune into it regularly. You can establish a daily routine of Bible reading and a daily routine of prayer. That actually leads us to our second point. Reprioritize your investments. Gang, the unmasked world that we are walking in offers you and me a whole new spectrum of places to invest our time, our money, and our effort. One person said to me, "Oh, Pastor Drew, I cannot wait to start going to concerts again." Another told me that they plan on traveling extensively. Good things. These are good things. I love both of those, by the way. But if we have lost the priority of Jesus being our first love, then we need to rethink how we're investing. Rethink our investment. Many of us in this room, knowing Jesus Christ, got to the healthy, successful place we are by allowing Jesus to change our lives and reorder our lives, didn't we? Jesus got us through childhood traumas, and he healed our hearts. Jesus would not let go of our hand when we were in way over our heads in financial trouble, educational requirements, and relational upheavals. Jesus gave us the power to overcome addictions, heal us from heartbreaks, and recover from losses that felt like they would never end. But these past 16 months made changes to our priorities, didn't it? We all watched on the web. We all did it. And little by little, every single church in America I read saw the same thing. Less and less people tuning in. Our priority of fellowship and assembling ourselves together was not really in our own hands, was it? So that suffered. But Westbridge, it's in our hands now. Therefore, we must reestablish our priorities by obeying the command of Lamentations chapter 3, verse 40. Let us test and examine our ways and return to the Lord. Let us take a good look at the way we're living and reorder our lives under God. Gang, the best way to do this is to let God pick where we invest and how we invest. Let God pick what we do with every single breath he gives us. What attitude will we breathe that breath in? Let God pick and show us how to invest every step that he shows us throughout the day. Let God pick and show us how to invest every day that he gives us to make it count. John Piper, his life changed, and he went on to change the lives of millions, all through a simple plaque that his mother had hanging in his kitchen as he was a child. This small plaque hanging on the wall in the kitchen said this: "Only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last." Now, let me let you in on a secret here. If that phrase resonates with your soul, it will become a perpetual and constant lens that you view life through. If that statement resounds in your spirit, your priorities change almost involuntarily, because you understand what it means and what it is said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 13 through 15. But on the judgment day, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. The fire will show if a person's work has any value. If the work survives, the builder will receive a reward. But if the work is burned up, the builder will suffer great loss. Because only what's done for Christ will last. Friends, God wants us to enjoy life. He wants us to bask in the life he has given us. But he also tells us our priorities are, and that is to, number one, become like Jesus. Become like Jesus in your attitudes and your actions. Become like Jesus in your love. Become like Jesus in your purity. Become like Jesus in your humility. Become like Jesus in your kindness. And then number two, complete the deeds that he has designed in advance for you to do. What does it say in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10? You are God's masterpiece. He has created you anew in Christ Jesus so you can do the good things he planned for you long ago. Westbridge, enjoy life. Enjoy life as you allow God to prioritize how you invest yourself. Okay, we have looked at reevaluating our relationship with God. We have looked at reprioritizing God's appointments in our life. Next in our new unmasked lives is point three. Establish reconnections that encourage growth. This comes directly from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23. Reconnections that encourage growth is what we're talking about here. This is what it says. Someone may say, "I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is helpful. I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything encourages growth." Gang, if you are like me, over the past 16 months, I lost some things, and they actually needed to go. In this past 16 months, I picked up some new things that need to stay. I lost massive amount of trees on my property by cutting them down. I wasn't stopping there for a while when this thing started. I thought I'd cut COVID out of my world. But guess what? The property is reclaimed. I lost that stuff. I lost things that were taking up space in my house, that were just taking up time and space and energy for me. Space in my calendar, space in my life needed to go, and I lost them. I even lost a vehicle or two along the way that were occupying too much of my time and my interest, needed to go. I lost some things, but I picked up some things too. I picked up exercising by kayaking with my wife, Kelly. And I encourage everyone to do that long strip all the way down from the top of run the gauntlet like I did there with Miss Kelly on her birthday. I picked up quantity time with God. I started to spend more time with God over the past 16 months. Just worked out that way. Right? God gave us the time. I also picked up quantity time with my loved ones. My wife has not traveled to the other side of the state for work in 16 months. That's 3 extra hours a day I get to see her. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23 tells us about, we'll read it once again. Someone may say, I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is helpful. I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything encourages growth. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23 tells us to connect with the things that are good for us and to walk away from the things that are not good for us, not beneficial. Now, that's a lot easier said than done, gang. It's easy to say it standing here. But to do it, it actually requires a healthy dose of veracity and candor. I am taking care of my... Let me ask you a question. Are you taking care of your health properly, your health? If not, we need to connect with what's profitable for our health. Like I said earlier, for me, the dentist and I have become very well acquainted with each other recently. Gang, that only happened because Miss Kelly reconnected me with a bunch of doctor's appointments. Yes, you name it, Miss Kelly signed me up to be poked, probed, stabbed, analyzed. She signed me up, and I had the time to go. She added to my life. And in reality, it's very good that she signed me up, and it has been profitable for my life. But if I'm honest with myself, I actually needed to reconnect with taking care of my health. But my guess is I'm not alone in this. I'll bet a lot of us here would do very well to talk to Miss Kelly tonight and have her start signing you up for checkups. Go see Miss Kelly. She'll get you signed up for all kinds of look insides that you need done. Gang, we must connect with the right practices. The profitable things that we must connect with. We must connect with procedures that are good for us. And especially, we must connect with people who are good for us. Warren Buffett stated recently that one of the four pillars of his life has been choosing his friends wisely. As we head into an unmasked world, choose to connect with people who inspire you to grow in God. That's who you want to be around. That's who you want to rub shoulders with. People who have a loving, positive, look for the best in others attitude. People with godly, healthy attitudes connect with ones who are going somewhere that you want to go in life and have a track record of success. Warren Buffett said one of the greatest understatements ever spoken is this: you are what you hang around with. Westbridge, getting unmasked has given us a new lease on life. But to live life well, we have to take the bull by the horns. We need to steer it. You need to steer your life. Don't let your life push you to places. Push your life to places. Let's wrestle with our lives to the connections that are profitable. Wrestle with our lives and take them to the places that are wholesome. Wrestle with your life and get it to a place that is spiritually energizing. Let's make that our action step. That leads us to our last directive in being unmasked. Point number 4, reestablish boundaries. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Here's what God said. Christ has set us free to live a free life. So take your stand! Exclamation point. Never again let anyone put a harness of slavery on you. Gang, like we have been saying, each of us have been handed a lot of time. Each of us have been handed a lot of freedom and a lot of opportunity. But know this, wrestling our lives to stay in the place where God wants them will inevitably require you to say no. No, I can't attend. I already made a commitment. No, I adopted a new way of doing things, and I want to stick to that. No, I'm trying not to work that many hours anymore. No, I can only stay a short time. Then I have to leave. Gang, setting a boundary is not mean. Setting a boundary is not uncaring. Jesus established boundaries by getting away for time to pray. God himself set a boundary by saying, seventh day, no work. No day of rest. No work on that day. And we all must have healthy personal boundaries in our life. Things like, no, I'm not going to allow you to speak to me like that. No, I won't be around that kind of behavior. No, I won't be treated like that. People who use a God-directed no usually keep a very good handle on owning their time, a very good handle on owning their space, a very good handle on owning their relationships, and a very good handle on owning their finances. Westbridge, as we head into an unmasked world, Jesus tells us to set boundaries calmly and confidently. He says it in Matthew 5, verse 37. Just say a simple yes, I will, or no, I won't. Anything beyond that is from the evil one. So if you're going to own our new freedom-filled, unmasked lives for Jesus, our final takeaway is to learn to say no. Henry Cloud, one of the people who I learned from the most, taught me years ago, no matter how you live, and this is important for all of us, no matter how you live, no matter how you choose, no matter how you live your life, some people are going to be upset with you. Therefore, Henry Cloud says, upset the right people. Properly set and established boundaries do not upset people who want the best for you. They just don't. Properly set and established boundaries work for people who want the best for you. So learn to say no, Westbridge, because guess what? As far as COVID, it's over. We got there. We're here. We are unmasked if we choose to be. But the choice I hope we all make from tonight, from this point forward, is to reevaluate your relationship with God. Reprioritize your investments. Reconnect with what encourages growth in your life and reestablish boundaries. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back and take this last couple moments to talk to God. Maybe there's something that you want to establish tonight with him. We have turned the page, and we're starting a new chapter with this unmasked world. What do you want to solidify that you have learned over that time, and what do you want God to help you with as you move forward? Let's talk to him. Please stand.
Father God, Lord, we're just so incredibly blessed. You have given us 20 years of friendship and fellowship and leadership, and you've spoken through Drew and Miss Kelly, their families, and Father, we are honored and privileged that you will continue to do that here in Alpha, in New Jersey. But we're also humbled and blessed that you would choose to allow them to serve elsewhere, to spread the love that you have bred into them, the light that your sun shines through them with a new place. We pray tonight for Friendship Community Church. We pray there that your spirit would move mightily, that your guidance would be every step, one at a time, and that whatever you have in store, we know you've already paved the way. You have done everything to make this possible. You have removed all the obstacles there, and you've shown us what to do here. We are so grateful, we're so thankful, and we're so honored to be able to call you our Heavenly Father. Thank you for calling us into service. Be with the Kleinbell family. Hold them close to you, strong with you, and Father, continue to show them the strength that you have had all along. And Father, we just bless them. We thank them and we look forward to hearing how we can support them, how we can pray for them, how we can encourage them and celebrate your victories, not just in Alpha now, but in Florida as well. You are incredible. Father God, we thank you. We send them out and we pray that souls are saved. People are won for the kingdom of God, and there's a big baptism in Florida that's going to happen. We look forward to seeing that, celebrating that, meeting those folks someday in heaven, if not sooner. Thank you, Father. Keep them safe. We love you, Lord. In your name we ask, amen.